Hello, sweet listener. What are you doing? Are you playing a game while also watching Netflix, while also listening to this podcast? If you are, well, I'll never know. But I do invite you to notice what you're doing and what you're focused on. I want to invite you now to focus. Come closer. This episode is all about you, of course, and it builds on the stay in your own lane conversation that we've had. This is about focusing on you and focusing on the future. Now, these are two separate things and very important things. They really go together here. So, you know, sometimes the people who need to focus on themselves more, well, they're often the same people who are afraid that they're already focusing too much, or they resist focusing on themselves. Is this you? If this is you, I want you to take a look, because what I've seen in this is that often what they're really doing is not focusing too much on themselves, but judging themselves. This is not the same thing. So judging themselves for taking up space, for having a voice, for privileges they have access to, for needing attention, needing in finger quotes, attention, for needing anything. So don't mistake judgment for true focus. Don't mistake your self-judgment for focus. And don't mistake judgment for truly seeing who you are and what you're capable of. That's what I mean when I say focus. Let's focus on that, on you, on who you really, really are. If you're going through a breakup, doesn't matter when the breakup was, but if you're struggling in letting go of someone that you spent years with, or someone that you spent hours with, but whatever, you're just having trouble letting it go. If you notice that your focus seems to keep gravitating towards them, then listen in today. This might be especially on point for you. I know that trap of losing yourself in another. I know it well. So listen in and hear my voice. It's just me and you here. It's you here. Of course, this is something that, you know, we don't just do during breakups. So many of us do this all the time, focusing on others. All our lives, if we don't stop and notice and choose to look at our lives through a different lens, we could be doing this forever, right? Just focusing on everyone else. It could just keep going on. Take the wheel. Side note, for someone with very little driving experience, I certainly seem to gravitate towards driving metaphors, which is interesting. I've noticed that. Maybe you have too. Several episodes, it's like stay in your own lane and, you know, cursing at people in traffic. And now I'm saying take the wheel. And I'm about to tell you yet another driving story, because it's perfect, about focus, about where you want to go. So one of my very, very first times in a car, I was taking driver's lessons through my high school, and I was in the parking lot of the, I believe it was the Terry Miller Arena, North Park Secondary School in Brampton. And I was in the parking lot with my driving instructor, and we're just, this is like really maybe my second time ever in the car. So it's like, we're just doing some donuts. We're just like, how do you turn this? It's very, very basic in the parking lot driving. And it's, I'm doing my loops, and I guess I must have just turned 16 because, you know, there was still snow in this parking lot, and I turned 16 in December. And I ended up headfirst in a snowbank, pretty big snowbank, wherever the parking lot had been plowed. And I hit it, and I was just, you know, horrified and just staring at it and embarrassed. I mean, come on. And my instructor just said, okay. He said, where were you looking? And I'm like, what? He's like, where were you looking before you crashed into the snowbank? And I was like, oh, I was looking at the snowbank. He's like, yeah, you were. snowbank. You need to look where you're going. But of course, I saw the snowbank and was started panicking, right? I was just like, oh my God, there's this big thing. It's kind of in my way. And the more I looked at it, the more it got in my way. Is this ringing a bell? This is a thin metaphor. I just kept staring at the obstacle. And the more I panicked, the bigger it got. And then all of my energy was facing it. And of course, I drove straight into the snowbank. So, and my instructor modeled a beautiful inner voice of just, okay, let's just stop the car. Notice where your focus was. Ah, were you looking at the snowbank? Cool. Let's reverse. Let's try this again. Looking where we want to go. Okay, so that's what this is all about. By the way, I want to acknowledge you because here you are listening to a self-love pep talk. You're listening to me. You're listening about focus. This might be you redirecting. If you're relating to any of this material and you're thinking about your obstacles, now you're listening. We're having this dialogue here and you're just like, this is you reversing the car going, okay, all right. I'm gonna stop thinking about my snowbank. How often do you focus on that snowbank? If you're in California, likely you don't ever focus on a snowbank. I say California specifically because I was using, as I do, metaphors to explain things. And I completely just forgot that the person I was talking to had spent like their entire young adult life living in California. And I said to him, I was talking about a specific kind of embarrassment, like of childhood, the feeling of being a loser. And I was like, you know, it's a really specific kind of feeling. And I said, you know, when you're like the only one at school wearing snow pants. He was like, no, he did not know that feeling at all. Of course. So instead of asking you how often you focus on the snowbank, I will rephrase, how often do you focus on what you want to avoid? So your life, how often do you focus on the problem? How often do you focus on what's in your way? Maybe it's the worst case scenario. Maybe it's the awkwardness that you hope won't happen. Maybe the failure that you're afraid of. How often do you focus on those things? Because when we do that, when we're focusing on the imagined failure and the worst case scenario, we're putting in details to a fantasy that we actually don't want. We are icing a cake that we don't want. We are rehearsing a show we never want to see. We're putting energy into creating these things. And in the meantime, the things that we do want, the cake that we do want, the show that we want to see, the life we want to live, well, if we're not giving them attention, they just stay in our imaginations like empty canvases collecting dust. They never get painted. They don't come to life. We can't even feel them. After a while, we leave them there long enough, we forget that we were ever going to do anything with them in the first place. We even would forget that they're there. And so they'll go dormant. These dreams don't get planted. They didn't get watered. They don't get a chance to grow. And I just used about 17 metaphors there in that analogy. But I'm standing by all of them. You know what I mean. Do you recognize yourself in this? Is this the life that you really want? Is this the results? Are these the results that you really want? Is this the relationship that you really want? Or are all those things just collecting dust while you spend your time fantasizing about all the ways it won't work out? Or maybe, perhaps, you're too busy focusing on all of the dreams and problems of other people. Do you struggle with this? OPP, other people's paradigms, other people's problems, just completely, you know, distracting and numbing out what it is that you really want out of your life by just focusing on others. So if you do that, A, totally human. We're all doing it. All you need to do is stop, reverse, notice what you're focusing on and stop. and bring your attention home. Come home. Come home to you. Sweet listener, I am asking you to be that loving home for yourself so that these dreams of yours don't die alone. The world wants to see them. I want to see them. But of course, it's not as easy as just stopping, right? Because, you know, I could tell you, oh, just stop. Stop focusing on the drama. But, like quitting smoking, it helps if you have something replace the unwanted thing, right? So, instead of smoking, some people will change that to chewing gum. Or a friend of mine, he loved the ritual at his workplace of going out for smoke breaks. It was like a social thing. It also got him to like get up and stretch his legs and get a change of scenery and stay creative. But then, when he quit smoking, which is really important to him, he didn't want to just sit at his desk and stay there. And he didn't want to cut off from these conversations. So he kept going, but he would call them fresh air breaks. So there was also a lot of permission. If you were a smoker, it was like, oh, going up for a smoke break. But like no one else felt entitled to just take a fresh air break. He started that where he was working. He focused on his breathing and on the conversation instead of sitting at his desk, not knowing what to do with himself. But he had to make that decision and give it a name. He had to fill that gap. Because we are designed to fill in gaps. We do this all the time. You want to do it consciously. I think this is why, I always wondered why overhearing one side of a phone conversation is so much more disturbing to me than overhearing a conversation where both voices are present. I would notice this if I was on a streetcar in a coffee shop. It could be noisy. There could be people around me having conversations. But I think that there's like a rhythm there that I can tune out. It's like, here's a voice, here's a voice, here's a voice, here's a voice. I don't even need to like know what they're talking about. But for some reason, if I'm sitting next to someone who's on the phone, I remember this specifically on a streetcar where I was really trying to zone out and the person next to me, it was so distracting. And because my brain kept on rushing around trying to answer the questions and fill in the gaps and guess what was happening. So you want to fill in the gaps. We're going to do it anyway. Do it with something that you want. When you bring your attention home, away from the drama and away from the other people, away from the problems, the snowbanks, you will need a home to bring it home to. This is your lane. This is your life. This is what you want. So play along with me now. What is the thing? Something that you don't want, that you've been focusing on lately. Something that's just been kind of running through your head. Let's say, for example, if you've been feeling especially shitty when you go on Facebook, okay? So you've noticed the feed is full of negativity and fear. And, you go in there to say hi or to pick up messages or something, but it's like you get tired and drained just looking at it. But, you aren't really sure where else to go and you're kind of curious and you get sucked in. And then you find yourself getting annoyed at how negative everyone else is. There's this hilarious little comic I stumbled across. It's on Instagram and the handle is I Am Honey Dill. And so it's this one character is walking around with this cloud behind them and points at another being and says, "You smell." And then in the next box, it's like knocking books out of someone's hand. "These are stupid." And then in the third box, kicking someone, going, "Out of my way." And the cloud behind them just keeps growing and filling. And in the last box, this little figure who's been doing all these horrible little things says, it's got its arms thrown in the air and says, "I'm sick of all this negative energy." Now, this to me is such a perfect example of like being on Facebook and complaining about how negative everybody is, right? So you've been focusing on all the bad vibes. It's making you miserable. And then you might talk about it at work. You might go, "Has anyone else noticed how miserable Facebook is lately? I know, right? So negative. Here, let me show you. Look. See this post, how negative it is? Am I right? What's the matter with everybody?" Like, have you ever had a conversation like this, for example? Okay, so obviously, if this is your example, that area of focus, whatever it is that you're focusing on, it's not working, right? Just making you a little more miserable. But remember, you are choosing to look at this. Especially like literally in Facebook, you've chosen all those people, okay? You have somehow approved this group of people, right? So you've chosen this newsfeed. You've also chosen who you see more often or not or whatever. But at the end of the day, you've chosen the people, okay? You've chosen it. So you've chosen to bring your attention here. And then you've also chosen to notice all the negative stuff people are posting. So now you are focusing on that negative, right? Let's say that again. When you're complaining, even about the negativity of others, you are the one focusing on the negative. So stop. Stop that. Notice what you're focusing on. Bring your attention home. And now here's the part where we fill in the gap. What do you want instead? What do you want instead of this thing you've been focusing on? In the Facebook example, so, you know, what would you rather be reading? Some lightheartedness, some peace, some like proactive, solution-focused posts, positivity, less noise. Maybe what you want is a social media break or more time outside or catching up with friends in real life, one-on-one. Maybe what you want is connection. What would you rather be doing other than playing the Facebook police? So think about that. Bring your attention back to what you actually want to create. Find it. Create it. Stop commenting on other people's posts and lecturing them on how negative they are or talking, you know, to other people about how negative they are. No, just let it go because you are still part of the problem. Post something wonderful. Post something funny. Be the refreshing thing you wish to see in your newsfeed. Or log out. Another choice. Focus on something completely different. Call a friend. Arrange a coffee date to catch up. Write a letter. Just get out of there. Look up. Look outside. Look to your future. You want to look to where you are going, where you want to go, not where you've been. Focus on you. Focus on the future. It's all about where we put our focus. So let's say I'm sitting on a glorious beach and my face is pressed in a bowl of cherries. I'm just like, I've got the bowl and my face is like right in there. So now if you asked me about life and about the world, well, I might say that cherries are everywhere. I might say the world is nothing but cherries. It's all pulp and pits. It's a fleshy, red, luscious mouthfeel of a world out there. And all of that would be true. But it's only true when I'm focused on the cherries. Because I can also sit up. I can leave the bowl in my lap. I can move my head slightly. I will see an entirely different reality when I change my focus. I might look up and see the beach and the sand and the birds near and way, way far in the distance. And I might see blue after blue after blue. I might say, there's infinite blues in this world, and they are beautiful. Life is expansive and soft. Life is in motion, and so many forms of life are interconnected in a dance of air and water. And this would all be true for where my focus is. Because I could also close my eyes and see an entirely different reality. I could close my eyes and say, the world is in darkness, that there is nothing, no color, no life outside of me, nowhere to go, nothing to do. And this would also be true, right? Have you ever played that game, I Spy? It's been ages since I've done it officially with that title, but I think we do it all the time because we see what we seek. You know, if somebody spies something green, you know, we start looking for it. We start seeing it. We focus on the color that's spoken. Suddenly we see it, even if we hadn't noticed any green before. But if we're playing that game and someone says, oh, I've spied something green, we're tuned in now. Our focus is shifting now. And now we might ask, oh, is it that bottle? Is it that green car? Is it the stem of this flower, the stitching in my notebook? Oh, hey, the lining in your jacket is green. Or, oh, the stick of gum, this is green. We start to see it everywhere. We see what we seek, and we will find what we focus on. So, focus on you. Focus on your future. If you are longing to heal, to get over that breakup, to heal old relationship patterns, to change jobs, to love yourself more, to listen to your dreams, to create a life that you love, to live this life you are living, to be the voice in your own story, the only one who can tell the story is you. If you are longing for these things, you need to focus on you and focus on your future. The future part, of course, very important. First, we need to focus on ourselves, you know, eyes on your own work, eyes on your own yoga mat. But that's just part of the way. Because the future is what will invite us forward into our lives. There is no backwards. It really is like driving with your head turned out the back window. That's no way to drive. If we saw someone doing that in a car, again, car metaphors. If we saw someone doing that in the car, it would be so clear. We wouldn't even question it. We wouldn't question it. We'd be like, what is this person doing? This is not the way. They're not going to get anywhere. This is dangerous. This is bad. They're going nowhere. We could see it so clearly. But, you know, it's more challenging to see that when we're doing it, first of all, when we're doing it ourselves with, you know, the subject matter of our lives. This week I watched a clip from a TED Talk by Carolyn Miss. So this is the author, if you don't know, of many books, Sacred Contracts and Anatomy of the Spirit. She is a medical intuitive who's known for her, I would say, no-nonsense, no-bullshit approach to integrity of the soul. That's how I would describe Carolyn Miss. Certainly in the, like, cilantro, like, and the word moist. Like, it seems like people don't have really a neutral feeling. It's like with, sorry, the word that I just said. I know some people just cannot stand hearing it. Cilantro as well. There's definite yeses and definite noes. I feel like Carolyn Miss is in this category. I really loved Anatomy of the Spirit personally. That was my introduction to her. But so in this talk, she was talking about this. I had been drafting my ideas for this podcast, and, you know, it really caught my attention what she was saying. I pressed pause and actually wrote down exactly what she said in this talk to share and pass on to you. So these are her words, Carolyn Miss. Don't look backwards for guidance, because there's nothing back there. The reason you are where you are is because that other part of your life is over. Don't look for over to chart the new. Don't go there. When it's time to make a decision about, oh, I don't know what to do next, do not go to who you were, what you did, because it will pull you back. Perhaps even to places that don't exist anymore. To images of yourself that are no more. You are not that person. Ugh, isn't that fantastic? I always add, when I read that, I wrote it down, and when I read that, after she says, you are not that person, I add, I'm a new person. Every day we're creating our lives. We are a new person right now. This really resonated for me, so I wanted to share it with you, because consciously choosing where you put your focus, well, it's a game changer for your mood, your mind, and your perspective, and as a result of all of your other choices. Okay, think about that. Consciously choosing where you put your focus, that one choice changes all of your other choices. Since I have been practicing realigning my focus, it has completely changed my energy, which has completely changed my day, which of course changes my week, my year, and yes, my life. So, to the heartbroken out there, no matter how long ago the breakup was, have you been checking in on your exes online? Just to see how their life is going without you? Is that feeling good? Is that taking you where you want to go? Stop. Notice what you are focusing on. Bring your attention home. Focus on you. Focus on how your life is going. Check in with how your life is going. And when you see your ex having a great time with people you used to know, well, who do you want to call? Who do you want to have a good time with? Make that call. Focus on you. What about, if not an ex, then have you been looking at people who, in your opinion, are doing it all wrong? Are you finding yourself being critical of people that you're looking at online or in your life? Stop. Notice what you're focusing on. And bring your attention home. Focus on you. When you see other people making poor life choices and posting them online, well, what choices do you want to make? What do you want to do that's different? Bring it home to you. And same thing, but opposite side of that spectrum, I guess, is have you been paying attention to the people who are living the life you do want? And it's not fair. Ah, the FOMO. FOMO, focusing on miserable outcomes. It's another acronym for FOMO. Is that what you're doing? Looking at beautiful things, getting angry about authenticity and representation, feeling shitty about yourself. Stop. Notice what you're focusing on and bring your attention home. When you see people living out their dreams, ask, what do you want to change in your life? How badly do you want this? So, you know, the best way to bring your focus back to you is just to ask this question. What do you want? What do you want and where do you want to go? If you don't yet know the answers to these questions, you can make finding out what you want the thing that you want. See? So there you go. I want to know what I want. Right there, even still, even though you don't have all the details fleshed out, this question brings the conversation back to you. It's about you now. What do you want? Take a breath. Write in a journal. Start every single line with, I want, I want, I want. Talk to a friend about it. Not about the other people, but about you. Talk to your friend about your experience. Bring the focus back to you. You are the star here. This is your life. This right here, this moment wants your attention. You are the only one who can give it a voice. So if you imagine that you're the star of your own movie, this life story of you, what would we be watching? If you didn't change anything, what would we be watching right now? How many hours of footage would there be of you wondering what other people are thinking, critiquing other people, what they're choosing, or complaining about how miserable other people are, judging everything, judging yourself, defending against what you imagine people are saying? How many hours of this movie are being dedicated to this? Imagine watching a movie where the main character is literally out of focus the entire film, and we can't see them. We can see and hear from the secondary characters. You know, we hear it from their ex, we hear from their siblings, their coworkers, their friends, people they used to know. But, you know, the secondary characters, they're not the reason why we came to see this movie. And in your life, those other people, they're not why you came here. This is your life. Your life is why you came here. It involves other people, but it's about you. Would you want to watch that movie with the character out of focus and all the complaining? and all the half-finished stories that they're imagining. What kind of movie would you love to watch? What kind of movies do you love to watch? Were you as delighted as I was? I don't know if you... I'm going to assume that you've seen the movie Amelie. I don't remember what year that came out. It's been a while now. But, like, I loved seeing her actually do all of those wonderful, whimsical acts of love and magic. Like, she could have just been fantasizing about them. She could have just been scowling at that grocer. Like, she could have just thought of these things and then just gone on with her life, you know. But she could have just read books about other people who do these things. But no, she got into action. She started creating magic, even though she was terrified at times to do that. She was the only one who could do that, who could make that story. You are the only one who gets to decide how your life is going to go. You may not have control over some of the events in your movie, but you always have a choice about how your character will respond to these events. So focus on what you do want. Focus on what your experience actually is. Your feelings, your thoughts, your desires, your needs. Focus on you. What is your story? I want to know your story. The world needs your story. You're the only one who can tell it. Do you see how important this is? If this message of focusing on you and focusing on the future is resonating, and especially if you're single, if you're looking, or even if you're coupled and, well, not quite so over the moon about your love life, well, you won't want to miss the next episode of The Soft Shoulder. You are the one you've been searching for. I'm going to speak specifically about this element in regards to dating and love and romance. You know, it's a core belief of mine, you know, that we are the ones we've been searching for. It's a principle of Radical Vows, my own take on self-marriage. I think it's a good one. You know, we can fall in love with ourselves. We can bring that love. We can generate that love, radiate that love. So if you haven't, if that interests you and you haven't already subscribed, do it right now. Make sure that you don't miss an episode. With The Soft Shoulder, you never know when just the right topic will show up at just the right time. I love those synchronicities, don't you? They really help build my muscles of self-trust. I feel like when, you know, just the right book falls into my hands, just the right podcast falls onto my ears, the right song comes on in the coffee shop, I feel like the world is giving me signs, like I'm on the right path, like I can trust my path, and that it also tells me that I'm listening, because I know that these signs are everywhere all the time. And when I notice them, it's not that they've shown up all of a sudden, where have you been all my life song. It tells me that I'm actually listening. I'm saying yes to this. You, dear listener, are someone worth loving. And it all starts with you. Thank you for pulling over, for leaning in. Take care of you.